Blog Talk Radio.
On the line tonight, we have a sit-in for Elizabeth Poole. She is taking some much-needed rest. So we're going to have our brother, which is my husband, who's going to be filling in with us on tonight.
Hello, everyone.
And that's Mr. Algie Poole III. And we are giving you greetings from Jesus Christ International Ministries under the leadership of Bishop Algie Poole Jr., who does Blog Talk Radio on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. talking about the doctrine of truth. So tonight we're going to be opening the lines up for all of our PYCs, which is our pretty young Christians, the ones that are on the move for God and young, and we're growing in grace and growing in ministry. And tonight we will be talking about a theme, Do You Really Think I Love You? And we came across this theme because last week I was praying and just talking to God, and I was listening and replaying some seminars that I had been in, and someone said something. Someone said that you can love somebody, but what you think about that person could be totally different. You can love them to the point where you will help them and you want to see them do better. But when you think about that person, do you respect that person? Do you respect them to the point where you your help is not out of formality? It's just out of, you know, I really, really love you, and I really want to see you grow, and I'm doing this with a heart that is just open for you. So I went on this challenge. I challenged myself to start thinking about different people in my life that I interact with every day, and I asked a couple of people in my life, do you really think I love you? And some of them were very agitated by it because they didn't know where I was coming from, so they just disregarded the question. And then some of them said, yes, I really do think you love me. And my follow-up question was, why? Why do you think I love you? And some of them answered with, because you've helped me, or you've been there for me, or, you know, you let me cry on your shoulder. You are open to me. You invited me in your space. My sister-in-law, she said, you know, because I know you love me because when I was sick and you didn't even know me, you came and stayed at my house just to help me. And, you know, I was honored that people felt that I loved them because I really, true, honestly love them. And I think very highly of them. And my love is out of a love of just being open and honest and upfront. So tonight the question is, do you really think I love you? And we're going to let my husband, Aljipu III, chime in on that question and see if there's anything that he would like to say at this time before we go into prayer. All right, we're going to bow our head with a word of prayer at this time. Father God, we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your love. We thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way. We thank you for you keeping us and you guiding us and you directing us. And we ask, God, that on tonight that we be empowered by your word, that it be an open discussion, that you would get the glory out of us. And we will leave this talk more empowered, more educated, with more wisdom, with more knowledge, and more understanding. God, we thank you for the listeners. We thank you for the online listeners, the phone listeners. And we ask, God, that your word be made known to us. And we thank you, and we love you. And we ask all these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So the question is, do you think I love you?
That is a very good question. Most time people don't really ask that question. Most time people ask the question but don't know how to really answer it. And over my time of understanding, love is an action word.
Mm-hmm.
So people can say, you know, people can ask you, do you really love me? But like she said before, nobody really asks to follow-up question the reason why, because they understand that love is actual. people say, I love you, I love you. But, you know, then the follow-up question would say, well, what have you done for me lately? And God
Oh,
said,
I like that. What have you done for me lately?
And God said, you know, with love and kindness have I drawn you. When you have seen me sick, when you have seen me hungry, when you have seen me naked. And then the disciples say, well, God, when have we saw you sick or naked? God said, well, when you see my brother sick or naked, that's when you see me. And God is showing us that by love, if we show these actions, if we show somebody that's in down and out, we go visit them. Like she said, she went to go visit her sister-in-law. She knew that she loved you because you just came to visit her without even knowing who she is. You know, when you allow somebody to cry on your shoulder, you're showing that love, that no matter what may come, I'm going to show you that I love you instead of tell you that I love you. So, you know, love is a multitude. And we're going to keep it going because we're going to want to know from everybody that's calling in, why, you know, do you really love me?
Yes.
You're talking about love. Do you really love me? And if you really love me, why?
And I think that this topic is a very upfront and in-your-face type of topic because sometimes we want to know an answer to a question, but we're afraid to ask it. Do you really love me? And sometimes we say it in a way that is not favorable or not happy. So people are expecting a negative response. But I think it's a really good question to ask someone. And we're going to take our theme scripture from 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, verse 1 through 7. And it talks about the greatest gift. And it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become a sounding brass or a clinking cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I beseech all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. And then it goes to say, love suffers long, and it is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself. It is not puffed up. It does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, it is not provoked, thinks no evil, does not rejoice in iniquities, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. So here the word of God was saying, you know what, the greatest gift that we could give someone is love. Not a rude love, not a puffed up love, not a provoked love, not an envious love, but a love that is so pure and that is so honest that my desire is to see you do good. My desire is to see you prosper. My desire is to see you do great and miraculous things. This afternoon I was watching a movie online and This young lady had a friend that was always just speaking evil of her husband. And the friend never knew that this woman wanted her husband. So she went through life, you know, thinking her friend was giving her the best possible advice. And God had to really deal with her to understand, listen, people will do things spitefully and call it love. They will do things that are so not in alignment with God, and they think that's how you're supposed to be loved. And sometimes you end up asking them in the heat of the moment, do you really love me? Because if you love me, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't treat me like that. And that goes to say, like, with God, we love God. And there are sometimes that we do things as young Christians or just Christians, period, that are not pleasing to God. You know, like me, I had my son when I was 15 going on 16, and I know that was not pleasing to God because he probably said, listen, I have a great work for you to do, and you're giving your gifting your life away at this very moment for, you know, 5 or 10 minutes of pleasure. So, but I love God. I can honestly say I love God because I was brought up knowing him. I was brought up knowing that he was the author and the finisher of my soul. And they taught me how to pray, and they taught me how to intercede. And I felt in my heart I had a relationship with God. But at that moment in time, I was not showing God that I truly, honestly love him. Like you said before, you said, you know, love is an action. And we know that we are not perfect people, and we are not perfect Christians and on this walk. But we understand that when we mess up, we got to go back and get it right. Because I believe God might ask us one day, you know, do you really love me? Because if you love me, you will stop doing some things that you're doing and doing all these different things. And here Paul was talking to the church of Corinthians and letting them know, though I do all of these great things, though I can prophesy, though I can speak in tongues, though I can, I got faith that can move mountains, I got all of these things, but if I had not loved, if I have not shown people the love of God and honest love, then everything that I've done is not profitable. I'm not gaining anything.
And if you break it down from the first verse, because we're talking about do you really love me, it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I become a sounding brass and a tickling cymbal.
Yeah.
And that part that says, I become a sounding brass and a tickling cymbal, that means that if you don't have any love in your heart, if you don't understand the concept of showing love, you're just making noise with your words. Because a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal, all they do is just make noise.
Just make a loud noise.
So therefore, you have to understand that if you don't have any love, the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, you're just making noise. Nobody's going to listen. All they're going to do, people are going to hear you, but they're not going to believe what you're saying because all you're doing is making noise. And when people hear loud noise, they tend to just shine away because you're not showing anything positive. You're not doing anything that's going to let them understand that you really love them because all you're doing is making noise. And then after that, normally when there's too much noise, they just turn the radio off. Or they close the doors or they close the ears because you're not showing their love. And then it goes down, when you keep on going down to verse 4, it says, love suffers long. In my book of King James says that charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity then is not itself. It is not puffed up. So love suffers long. It is not puffed up. Being that I work for the school system, you have to love. You have to love your coworkers. Love suffers long, and is kind. No matter how much they mistreat you, no matter how much they say things against you, no matter how much they want your job, and they're gonna do everything they can because the enemy is always on his job to steer us from what we are supposed to do. But love suffers long and it is kind. You have to show kindness because the Bible says love and kindness have our drawn deep. And it's not puffed up. You can't be puffed up. I know we might get upset. We might we might get discouraged.
Have our moments where we get out of character.
Correct. But you can't get puffed up because once you get puffed up to the point where you're not showing any more love and you're not showing the love that God shows us, then people are going to say, okay, I knew he wasn't who he said he was. Especially as young citizens, we have to constantly show love because we are the church of today, and therefore the world is looking at us young people as showing love God.
And you know what? They were talking about that in Bible study, and one of the evangelists that was up speaking, she said, you have to remember that when you say you are a Christian, the enemy is going to try you. The enemy, without a shadow of a doubt, is going to try you and come at you all kind of ways because they want to test you. And the enemy will use anybody to come at you. Any vessel that say, you know, I want to be used by the enemy, because I feel like this, if you're not being used by God, you're being used by the enemy. Amen. But in my search of trying to understand what is love? Because it's so easy to tell somebody, why don't you just love them? Or why don't you love me? Or show me love. Why don't you do this? Or why don't you do that? And I realized as I began to study that, and God brought back to my remembrance, there was four types of love that was spoken of in the Bible. And I just want to touch on them very briefly. And one of them was the Star J love, which is a special kind of love, a special type of parental love, meaning the love that you have for a family member, children, your siblings, and different things of that nature. It's a love. It's a strong family love or a strong bond among mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers. And we know that in Exodus, the 20th chapter and the 12th verse, it says, honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God giveth you. So when we talk about the Star J love, it talks about a family type of love, a family. And I always said this, that God gives us our family, but we choose our friends. And one thing I know about my family, my intermediate family and also my extended family, is that we all are very open with one another. We're always talking to one another, whether we're on Facebook, Twitter, through text messages, through Tango, and all of these different things. We're always trying to keep everyone in the loop with something, whether it be good or bad. And for us, for me, I think that's us showing each other love. I love you so much that I want to invite you in my space. I want you to know what's going on with me, whether it be good or bad. And when we talk about the scripture, Exodus, the 20th chapter, verse 12, when it says, honor your mother and your father so that you may live long in the land your God is giving you, so that you may live long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. It is important for us to understand that when our parents, now if they're giving us good counsel and they're giving us good guidance, that's that wisdom and knowledge and understanding that they have. And the more that we keep living, we would never have the wisdom and knowledge that they would have, because they have lived longer than us, they have experienced more things than us, and they're still growing. So it's like they're passing their wisdom and knowledge and understanding down on us so that we won't have to pay the same prices that they had to pay. And I think sometimes, especially our young people like us, you know, in our 20s, our 30s, that our teens, our preteens, they feel like, oh, mommy don't understand, or daddy don't understand, or grandma don't understand, or whatever it may be, not realizing that they do understand. They went through the same thing, or probably even something worse. On yesterday, I had the opportunity to talk with my boss, and I asked her, I said, have you ever protested? And she was like, yeah, I used to protest all the time. And she was like, you know, we used to do sit-ins, and we went to Tallahassee, and we did this. And you know, I remember coming down to my father's house to visit for the weekend, and there were riots in the area and different things of that nature. And I was like, wow. And she said, you know what, this is something that I don't even think my children know about me. And I thought about that. And I thought about my grandmother and my great-grandmother, who is 100 years old now, who had to pay a price for me to live. And I stepped back and looked at it, and I say, am I showing them the love? Am I showing them that Star J love, that family-oriented love, where we can, where they feel the love exuding from me? And I thought about that, and I was like, you know, it's very interesting to learn about our heritage, because a lot of times we as young Christians or young people, we're so busy living our lives, getting married, having babies, doing all of these different things, but our wisdom and our knowledge and our understanding is locked up in our forefathers, our grandmothers, our grandfathers. So, you know, in order to say, show somebody love, we need to know what type of love are we showing. isn't that Star J love where we're showing a family type of love?
Amen. Yeah, when it comes down to that, the Star J love, the family love, like we said before, love is the action word. And when it comes down to the family love, we all know that, you know, if any family goes to ups and downs, ins and outs, and, you know, family has their differences. But if somebody talks about your family, you sure enough going to back them up, because the love that you have for your sister, your brother, your mother, your father, even kids now, back in the day when we was kids, and when our grandparents, you know, our parents and our aunties and uncles, our grandparents, you know, they said, "So you don't talk about my mama, because
yeah,
don't
talk about
my mama, then you gonna have it." And that's the type of love that it has as far as the Star J love, that family love, because we know that it, when it comes down to it, they say blood is thicker than water. And at the same time, God wants us to understand that the same love that you have for your family, where you will go to bat,
the same love you need to have for the household of faith.
For your brother and your sister in Christ, and not even your brother and sister in Christ, your brother and sister that's going through, because you don't want to just single out just your family members. You
mm-hmm.
want to be able to show love to the people in your church. You want to show love to that brother and sister that babe in Christ that's going through, and even with the young people, you want to be able to show them love. That, hey, I got your back. You just like my brother and my sister, and like the missionary and the mother of the church, you just like my regular mother. You know, somebody said something about my church mother, and we're going to have it. And the thing that I want to touch is it says, love does not behave itself unseemly. Seek is not her own, not easily provoked. Think is no evil. The thing about that is you have to understand that when you have the love of God, you're going to associate yourself with the same people that have that same type of love.
But let me ask you something. What is the love of God? Because, you know, everybody say, God, you got to have the love of God. Go get the love of God. What is the love of God?
Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Because according to what I was reading earlier and what I looked it in up, one of the things that I had in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5, says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, heart, and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And when it comes down to having the love of God, the one word that comes to my mind is the agape love.
Yes,
that
yes.
unconditional love, to the point where, you know, you're just gonna love regardless.
Yes.
You're just gonna love on them, because God. One thing I keep saying over and over, and in the Sunday school lesson, God gave the ultimate sacrifice. God loved us to the point where he sacrificed his own son.
Yes.
Now, you have to understand that. In these days and time, yes, our children might get on our nerves.
Help somebody.
You know, we might get on our own parents' nerves for what we do growing up. But would you sacrifice your child to save the world? You have to really think about that. Do you have that type of love that you will sacrifice your child to give? Now, I only knew one person that loved God and had the same type of love God had, and that was Abraham, if I'm correct.
Mm-hmm.
Because he took his son up to the mountain.
Yes, he did.
And he loved God to a point where he said, God, you have gave me abundantly and more than I could ask for. So if you want me to sacrifice my son, I know you're going to give me another one. And by him doing that and trusting in God and loving him with his whole heart, with his whole soul and might,
yeah.
God said, you know what, Abraham, you have passed the test. That little
ram
in the bush. That way you have to sacrifice your son. And the thing was, even the son, not knowing what he portrayed the same love in God because he trusted his dad.
Yeah.
To the point where he said, okay, Dad, where, you know, I don't see the sacrifice. Where the sacrifice? He said, the Lord will provide. And he went on. And he laid down there. And he
told
his dad, said, Dad, what is the sacrifice? The Lord will provide. He got to the point where he said, okay, Dad, you know, you're getting ready
you
to
kill
me.
Me.
So that's the thing, the agape love that we have, that we're going to love with all our heart, mind, and soul, to it got to the point where we can sacrifice something that we really need.
Yes.
But we still know that God will provide.
So that agape love is like a selfless, sacrificial, unconditional love. It is the highest form. One of the studies that I read through, it said it's the highest form of love. And so we talked about agape. We talked about the starje. We know that there's another one, the philia love, which is a type of love, a brotherly love, a friendship love. And that's like I said before, God gives us our families. But we choose our friends. We choose who we want to have a friendship with. And when you talk about friendship and you talk about relationship, at the end of that, you see that word ship, meaning a boat, something that we're on together, something that we're included in together. So when we talk about the filial love, we're talking about a friendship. And we have to be careful as just people in general, the friends that we keep, and how they affect our lives. Are they positive? Are we more of a positive influence on them? Or are they more of a positive influence on us? I am very excited when I see two friends that are very positively charged, and they encourage one another to grow and bloom and blossom. But then I see a lot of people that interact with people that are just so not good for them. They're toxic. They're always talking evil things. They always got the next, you know, drug, gun, event going on, and they want to, hey, come over here and do what I do, or come over here. And it's not encouraging us to be better or to be different or to be set aside. And I think sometimes we need to just blow our whistle and say, hey, you know what? I'm a positive person, or I want positive people in my life, so I'm going to choose, because it's a choice. I'm going to choose who I allow in my inner circle. The other day I was talking to someone, and I stepped back and I said, you know, I thank you for allowing your inner circle, because we don't have to have that type of love for somebody that say, you know what, I'm going to allow you in my life. I'm going to allow you to know who my friends are. I'm going to allow you to know who my family is. I'm allowing you to know me in my deepest form of just openness. I want you to know me that way. We don't have to involve people in that. The Lord said that we should love our neighbors as we do ourselves. And you can love your neighbor and say, you know what, okay, I'm going to supply you with bread or with water or with some type of substance, but it's a inclusive type of love when they are open up to your space, your children and your aunts and your uncles and all of those different people that you are entangled with. So that's the filial type of love that we have. So we talked about the starje, we talked about the agape love, and we talked about the philia type of love. And on tonight, we're just simply talking about, do you think I love you?
Amen.
And if you do, why?
That's correct. If you do, why? You know, you just don't tell me you love me. You got to, you know, tell me why you love me. You know, show me some signs. And when she would talk about the philia, is that the one with the friendship?
Yes.
The friendship, okay. When you talk about the philia and the friendship, it's kind of ironic when you say we, as you know, young Christians, as Christians in general, say we love God, but we haven't seen them, but we meet our brother,
that's a good one.
And we see them every single day. You know, you can't say you love your friend, you can't say you love this person, and then when something goes wrong, you just turn your back, or you say, you know what, I don't have anything to do with them, and then you turn around and say you love God, because God is love. God is going to love us, you know, regardless of our ins and outs, regardless if we do wrong, regardless how we treat him, he's going to constantly love us. So when you speak about that filial love, that friendship love, you see this person every single day. You have to constantly continue to show them love every single day, because, you know, with love and kindness have I drawn you.
Yeah.
He says God is love. And then
who love?
God is love.
Oh,
you know,
that's
you
it.
Can't say that, you know, you love God, because God is love. So therefore, if you are living in that newness of God, if you want to be a Christian, which is Christ-like, You have to have love inside of you because God is love. God is nothing but love. And it says here that, you know, if you're not worshiping God, if you're not saying that you're a Christian, this only, you can't serve two masters.
Yeah, that's true.
You can't get out of the fence. You say you love God, and then, you know, you hate your brother. No, you got to be one of the other. You got to be hot or cold. You be lukewarm. He'll
spill you out.
Mouth. So you got to make sure that if you say you love God, you love your brother. If you have that feel of love for your friend, you have to show it constantly because, you know, you just can't love him when you want him. And you see him every day, and then you say you love God that you haven't seen.
That is so true. What me and my husband, and he's online with us, what we did, because we realized that there are so many ways to love people. Gary Chapman wrote this awesome book called The Five Love Languages. And we went to a seminar, but we also took the quiz a couple of months ago, and I revisited the quiz recently because I wanted to see, you know, was my love language still the same? Now, from what he says in this book, and I think that everyone should get it, and we should all read it, and reread it again because it teaches us about us. It teaches us about us and how we love people how we want to be loved. We will love someone how we want to be loved. Instead of loving someone how they want to be loved and inviting them to love you how you want to be loved. And I love that concept because God is an undying, has an undying love for us, where he just gave his all. So I feel like if God gave his all for us, he is expecting us to give out. But when we took the five love language quiz, mine was, I'll share it with you. There's five different languages of love: acts of service, quality time, physical touch, receiving gifts, and words of affirmation. Now, this could be applied to children, a mother, a parental relationship, a sibling relationship, a relationship between a husband and a wife, someone that's dating or thinking to be engaged. I think it is very important for people that are looking to be engaged to take the love language test. It can be also communicated with pastors, with leaders, because it helps us to better function with one another. The Bible says, how two walk together, unless they live.
I agree.
They agree. So it's acts of service, quality time, physical touch, receiving gifts, and words of affirmation. Acts of service means I feel most loved when someone is doing something that helps me, whether it's cleaning up the house, whether it's running errands for me, whether it's doing business for me. I feel most loved at that particular time. Also, quality time. I feel most loved when someone is spending quality time with me. Physical touch. I feel most loved when someone is touching me, whether it's holding my hand, whether it's touching me on my shoulder, whether it's giving me a foot rub or different things of that nature. Receiving gifts. I feel most loved when I get a gift. And it's not a huge gift. Maybe it's a poem. Maybe it's a letter. Maybe it's a shirt that I really wanted. I was thinking about purchasing it. Or maybe it's, you know, an instrument or something of that nature. And then you have words of affirmation. I feel most loved when someone is encouraging me to be the best me possible. When they're telling me, hey, I love you, or you look good in them jeans, or, you know what, today I thought about you, and I was very proud of all the great work that you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
So those are five love languages. And mine is acts of service.
Yes, it is.
And I can respect that, and I do honor that, because I always find myself trying to do things for people and try to help them, because that's the way I like to be. But then I had to realize and step back and understand that, first of all, I'm only one person.
One person.
And I cannot do everything
by yourself.
By myself. Amen. So I had to pick and choose my battles. And I had to stop loving people how I want to be loved and tap into how they want to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
And love them that way.
Yes, that way. Yes, she was saying about love languages. One of the things that Dr. Chapman was saying when we went to the seminar was that you have to be careful because, you know, it's good to take the test because he was giving an analogy of a couple, married couple. And the couple said, you know, when they came and did counseling, she was like, well, you know, I just don't feel like, you know, he loves me or something like that. And, you know, I don't feel love. And then he was saying, well, you know, I cook, I clean, you know, I, you know, take care of the kids, you know, I make sure, you know, she's not stressed at home and everything. But it comes down to the point where once they took the test, he was operating in the love language of acts of service.
Mm-hmm.
But her love language was quality time. And she was operating, so therefore they could never understand each other. So in order to understand that person, you have to really understand what type of love language it is. Now, for me, when we first took the love language test, my love language was quality time. And my wife would tell you that, you know, no matter what, we need to spend some time. But one thing I had to show her, understand, I had to, you know, explain to her. She thought quality time was just, okay, we watching TV together, we spending time together. No, that's not quality time, because technically when you watch TV, you're not really spending time together. You're just watching TV.
Yeah.
So I had to, you know, let her know and show her, you know, when you do this love language test, it not only lets you know where you stand at, but it lets you know where your sister, your brother, your wife, your children, the pastor, it lets you know where everybody stand at, and then you communicate. One thing that we tend to do as people, not only body of Christ, but as people, when we find out or when we understand what we want or what we need, we don't communicate it. We don't talk about it.
Yeah.
And love, you have to, like I said, is an action word.
Mm-hmm.
You have to talk about it. You have to say, hey, you know, when she asks you, do you really love me? And people say, yeah, I know you really love me. Then she came back and said, why? Because she wants you to talk about it. Tell me why you love me. So when it came down to quality time, I had to tell you, know, no matter what, if we out, you know, at Walmart in the clearance section, the section that she loves so much.
Yes.
Or we out riding the car, walking around. That, to me, is considered quality time. Not just you thinking that I'm, you know, you watching TV with me is quality time. Because like she said, she was loving me the way that she thought I wanted to be loved instead of loving me the way that I needed to be loved. And I was doing the same thing to her. I thought that, you know, just cleaning up the kitchen, which was the job that I felt that would need to be done, so she wanted to do it, was showing her acts of service. But no, at some time, the acts of service was helping her out in the business, helping her at her job, you know, helping her see anything she needs so I could take the load off. So in the case of finding out your love language, you have to communicate. One thing God does throughout the whole Bible when you read it, he's constantly
communicating. Yeah.
He's constantly talking. He's constantly teaching his disciples, hey, this is what you do it. This is how you do it. Now, once you have, well, I showed you, put it to the test. You know, he said, cast your net on this side of the boat. You know, and he's okay, you got fish. Now, he told people, come on, walk on the water. You know, you got to put it to the test.
I like what you just said, that God is always communicating with us in the Word of God. Which brings me to my next option in the do you think I love you, is that if we're supposed to be examples of who God is, why aren't we always communicating? Why aren't we always being upfront and honest with our brothers and sisters?
Well, that goes back to what you said in the beginning when we first started. And we do appreciate everyone that's on the phone with us tonight, everyone that's on the radio, on the airwaves, the ones that are online. You know, feel free to press one on your dial tone if you're calling in. If you're online and you're listening to us online, you can always hit the chat box in your top right-hand corner And we are also on the chat, so you can leave a message there. But it goes back to, I'm glad you asked that question, because it goes back to what you said earlier when we first started. Sometimes people are afraid to get the answer because you ask them, well, why do you love me? And some people really don't want that, like they say, don't ask a question if you don't want to know the answer to it. And that's the reason why sometimes it's hard for us to communicate, because people don't really want to hear the truth. Because sometimes when you tell them the truth, Bible says the truth shall set you free.
They don't want to be set free.
They don't want to be set free. So therefore, when you tell them, you ask them, hey, why do you really love me? And you tell them the truth, you know, then they're gonna really understand. Sometimes we are comfortable in our
days. Yes.
So that's kind of hard for us to communicate. But I've learned over the time period and being married, and not just being married, just in business and also in my profession, it's best to communicate, because sometimes if you just tell the person what you're thinking, then they'll really understand where they're coming from.
Yeah.
Just like with God, God always talked. You know, he always had a, even though he talked in parables, he always talked. He always communicated. He always told them this. And most of the time when he told them nothing but the truth, and it was easy for them to understand.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we make it too hard because we think that people are always going to hurt us. But sometimes it's not what you say, it's how you say it, to let the people know, hey, this is the reason why I love you, or this is the reason why I do this, or this is the reason why I do that, because this, I love you enough to tell you the truth.
I like that. People don't want to be set free. Set free. But, you know, I believe in my heart that a lot of times knowing the truth is scary.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you find out the truth about something, you find out in its purest form what someone thinks about you, how they are, what they expect from you. And I think in love, sometimes we have to put those fears aside. God said, I have not given you the spirit of fear, but I've given you the ability of a sound mind. I've given you the ability to be firm. And with that being said, sometimes we have to put away all that fear and say, you know what, I really want to know. I want to know the truth, because I really do want to know, do you love me? The Lord asked Peter 3 times. He said, Peter, do you love me? He asked him 3 times because he denied him. And he said, yes, Master, I love you. I love you. I love you. And the question I ask myself is, do I love God? Does God think I love him? Because I know he loves me. He died on the cross for me. Even when I'm at my lowest common denominator and I feel like there is no way out, God still gives me strength to go on. When I didn't have a job, he provided a job for me. When I didn't have food or clothing or different things that I needed to function in life, he provided for me. So I know God loves me. I know God's desire for me is to be all that I can be for him. And when I become all that I can be for him, it allows me to impact others. And it allows me to encourage others to be all that they could be for God. So that they can ask themselves, do I really love God? They can ask their siblings and their parents and their husbands and their wives, do you think I love you? And if I love you, if you think I do, or if you think I don't, what can I do to be better? That question was really opened up for me that I can be better. Not for me to cause friction with people or get them to feel uncomfortable. It was just simply about, how can I love you better? How can I love you on your terms? The best thing you can do is open up a dialogue with people and talk to them and find out what it is about them. If you can be in their lives, what it is about them that you can help them improve, or how can you enhance their lives?
Mm-hmm.
When you think about getting married, And I have a lot of family members that have just recently got married. They've had babies. Woo-hoo! We got more babies on the way. And all of that comes to say that they're in this state of, I just so love you. And I love my babies, or I love my newborn baby, I love my husband, I love my fiance, all these different things. And I think in its purest form, we could say, do you really think I love you? Let's open up that dialogue so that you can understand what my love looks like and how God brings us together as one.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about the love with a relationship between a husband and a wife, and I mean that in a, between a husband and a wife, not a woman and a woman, not a man and a man, but between a husband and a wife, it's called eros. And it's a physical, sensual love between a husband and a wife. This is the type of love that a husband and a wife shows each other. And a lot of times we get married or we communicate that our love, sex is what it is, sex. But what happens when you're 30, 40 years in your marriage and you're saying, okay, I love you, but what does my love look like at that moment?
Yes. One of the things that it says in the, when it comes down to the vows
mm-hmm.
in marriage, it's for richer or poor, sickness and in health, you know, to death do us part. And you, if you really love that person, you know, it's not just about, especially when they talk about relationship love, eros, you have to love that person regardless. You know, do you really show that love when the person is sick? You know, when your spouse is sick, your husband is sick, or your wife is sick, are you going to be there? Like I said before, you know, it's the action word. And one of the things that I really want to point out is that, you know, God is just like the parents show the example
uh-huh.
to their children. God sets the example for us to follow. And God shows us how much he loves us because he has provided for us and he has stand in the gap. He has been there and he has answered our call time and time again.
Yes.
Like she said, when, you know, we all have been there when we wanted a job, we needed the job. And we went out and searched, and we went out and put in application, and we just kept praying, God, I need a job, I need this, I need that. God has shown us so much love to the point where he has supplied our needs. So it behooves us not to do the same thing when it comes down to showing love to one another,
uh-huh.
when it comes down to showing love to friends, when it comes down to showing love to family members, when it comes down to showing love to your husband, your spouse, when it comes down to showing love to anybody. If God has set the example and God has showed us and gave us a pathway, he gave us instructions, he gave us the Bible to follow, then we should follow it. You know, we just want to start by to let you know that, you know, ask that question like she said, put that dialogue out there. The next time you talking to your friends, talking to your mama, talking to your husband, your wife, you know, do you really love me? Now, let me say it real quick before we close. Men, husbands, when the wife asks you, do you really love you, it does not mean that something is wrong. It doesn't mean that you done did something bad. It doesn't mean that, she she's off the wall or, you know, if she done did something wrong, then you just caught. You know, you just got to fess it. But she's just trying to ask you, do you really love her and why? Because she want to really understand the concept of love. You know, I can be the one that she was asking people these questions. My wife would ask me the same question, do you really love me? And I was half asleep. I'm like, I woke up like, what are you talking about? Do I really love you? Yeah, you really love me. Like, well, why? I'm like, why? I really love you because of this and that. So husbands, just keep in mind, they just doing the dialogue. They just talking.
Yeah.
You know, but we just stopped by to let you know. You know, just put the dialogue out there. Communication, love.
Mm-hmm.
Communication and love. Love covers all. And God is love. We can't say you be a Christian and don't have love.
That's it. And we also want to let you know that this Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, Jesus Christ International Ministries, under the leadership of Bishop Algie Poole Jr., will be hosting a revival with Dr. Teresa and Michael McClendon from Boca Raton. We're looking for everyone to come out and fellowship with us. The address is 2090 26th Street, Northwest 26th Street. I'm sorry about that. Northwest 26th Avenue, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33311. And that is August the 25th, 26th, and 27th at 7:30 p.m. nightly. Dr. Michael and Teresa McClendon will be with us in revival, and they are from Way of Life Fellowship. I'm sorry about that. Way of Life Family Worship Center, Boca
Boynton Beach.
Sorry about that. So we're looking for everyone to come out and fellowship with us. Also, don't forget Jesus Christ International Ministries do home services on Sunday. Our Sunday school starts at 10 a.m. Our morning worship starts at 11:30 p.m. We have Bible study and prayer Wednesday night at 7:30 p.m. And also Thursday afternoon at 4 p.m. we have prayer. So you are more than welcome to come out and fellowship with us. Come out and be empowered. And don't forget to open up that dialogue. And most importantly, don't forget our Bishop Algipu Jr. hosts a blog talk radio on Thursday night at 7 p.m., the Doctrine of Truth, opening up the Word of God to us, even the more that we as people of God can take root with it and grow and go and compel other people to know God. So come out to the revival. We're looking to have a good time. I thank you for tuning in with us on tonight. It was truly an honor to have my husband on the blog talk with me, Brother Algipu Jr. Oh, sorry about that. Brother Algipu the third.
I'm not the bishop. Well, yeah, please just thank everyone for listening on the radio, on the air, on the website. And like she said, you know, start that dialogue. You know, do a challenge. You know, they run like six different challenges on Facebook. So do a challenge. You know, do that. Start that dialogue with your friend, your family member, and challenge them and say, you know, do you really love me? And then they say, yeah, they really love you. Then you're going to really know how much they love you when you ask that follow-up question. Why do you love me? You know, then they're going to really tell you exactly how they feel, how they see you. You know, but one thing you want to keep in mind is nobody else says they love you. God loves you. No matter what, God is always there. God is your friend. God will stick closer to you, closer than any brother. That you. God will be your mother, your father, your sister, your brother. God has always been there by your side. So you're never alone. You know, never count yourself out. But we do appreciate you being with us, and we love you, and we will see you Monday night at the revival through Wednesday. If we don't see you on this Sunday at 10 a.m. or 11:30 p.m., we will see you Monday, Wednesday, or Friday. But we do love you. And always remember to spend that one-on-one time with God.
Oh, my knees, waiting to hear from you. I have so many questions that I need answers to. I'm just gonna wait on you. I'll sit right here and wait on you. Since you've heard from me, but if you just give me a little time, if you just give me a little time, I promise I won't be long.
I just need
my one-on-one. I know I walked away, but I'm coming back to stay with you. I'm coming back to you. Comes down to you.